From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, February 4th. I'm Jonathan All, in for Abby Larico. Dairy farms are opening new side businesses, such as cow cuddling and ice cream churning. But those opportunities of joy come amid a volatile milk market.
The prices are pretty low. They've been very low for a while. It's not always the same check you see coming in it's not a consistent check.
How dairy farms are finding new ways to rake in cash. That story's coming up on The Gateway. The STL Recovers Office is offering free debris removal and demolition services to residents whose homes were damaged in the tornado nearly 9 months ago. Applications are due by February 14th. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
The city of St. Louis estimates that over 7,000 properties were damaged by the May tornado. Nearly 5,000 of those properties do not have applications for assistance on file. Property owners must apply at app.stlrecovers.com by February 14th to receive the service. Julian Nix is the city's chief recovery officer. He says he knows residents want debris removed immediately to start repairs.
The progress and improvements aren't fast enough, but we're working on it, and we hope people will start to see visible results in their communities, really, as we look at it at scale in March.
The required documents for property assistance include a valid government ID and property insurance information if insured. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis alderman who led the effort to get his colleagues a say in picking a temporary sheriff says the role should remain an elected position going forward. Brent Narayan of the 4th Ward sponsored the resolution, putting the board on record as wanting to nominate a replacement for Alfred Montgomery. Montgomery was ousted last year for neglecting his duties. But Narayan said during a recent politically speaking appearance that the chaos of Montgomery's tenure should not change how his permanent successor is chosen.
This is kind of a high-profile case of a guy just not settling into the position. But it's also kind of drastic to say, actually, you don't get to decide on this anymore.
Montgomery is appealing his removal. Dozens of smoke shops are being accused of selling marijuana described as hemp flower, which critics say is illegal and infringes on the state's regulated cannabis industry. Noah Taborda has more on the lawsuit.
A coalition of marijuana companies filed the lawsuit against 17 stores in Kansas City and 40 stores in St. Louis. That includes major hemp chains like American Shaman and CBD Kratom. The coalition says the stores have created a widespread unfair playing field. Marijuana cultivators pay $30,000 a year in fees, and dispensaries pay more than $11,000 to legally sell marijuana products in Missouri. They argue that the defendants are selling the same products under the name of industrial hemp without paying the same costs. The Missouri Independent reports more lawsuits are expected. I'm Noah Taborda.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is sticking with the pension plan he proposed 2 years ago. Pritzker wants lawmakers to pass a pension reform bill that would fully fund pensions by 2048. The plan would also require certain surplus revenue to be directed to pensions. Pritzker introduced the plan during his 2024 budget address, but it has not moved forward in the legislature. A coalition of labor unions said the plan ignores recruitment and retention problems for state employees hired after 2010. Olympic soccer matches will head to St. Louis in 2 years after being selected as one of the host cities. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports matches will take place at St. Louis City SC's Energizer Park.
The Los Angeles Summer Olympics in 2028 will include a soccer tournament. Six additional stadiums across the country will host other matches, including in New York City, San Diego, Nashville, and St. Louis. Diego Gigliani is St. Louis City SC president and general manager. He says the discussions about hosting Olympic matches intensified about a year ago.
Don't remember which way it started, but I would not be surprised if we have made it very evident and put us on their radar of a team that has raised their hand and said, hey, please ask us, because this is strategic for us.
The last time the city hosted Olympic events was in 1904, the first Summer Olympics in the United States. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis's live theater scene has remained strong despite economic challenges. That's according to critics who evaluated more than 80 shows in the region for the upcoming St. Louis Theater Circle Awards. Rosalind Early is the deputy features editor at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She says access to reliable funding streams, including grants, has dried up.
In May of 2025, Shakespeare Festival St. Louis and the Black Rep both had grants revoked that they had been promised from the National Endowment for the Arts. And I also think on a state level that grants aren't as forthcoming right now for the arts.
But Early says theatergoers have continued to make a strong showing in supporting productions. Early made her comments on St. Louis on the Air. The St. Louis Theater Circle announced its nominations for its 13th annual awards. 20 theater companies and their productions will be up for the awards at the gala on March 24th. Missouri has 400 dairy farms, and Illinois has about 1,400. Both states have seen those numbers decline in recent years, in part because of how hard it is for them to make money. Milk prices are now below many dairy farmers' break-even points. It's the latest symptom of a volatile milk economy that's pushed some farmers to open side businesses to stay afloat. Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports.
Quincy Schmidt's family has owned their dairy farm in Corcoran, Minnesota, an hour outside of the Twin Cities, since 1958. When her grandpa first scouted the area.
He hopped in his pickup one day and he bought the farm with 20 cows and a horse, and we kind of have grown our farm from there.
When Schmidt was growing up, the family had about 50 cows, and the herd expanded over time.
As we became adults and were interested in the farm, we increased our herd. We're now milking 120 cows, and yeah, they're pretty friendly. They're a friendly bunch.
But for the past 5 years, dairy prices have been volatile. They're currently running a few dollars below many farmers' break-even points. Profit margins at Schmidt's family's farm started shrinking.
Dairy isn't always a consistent form of income. If other dairy farmers can relate, the prices are pretty low. They've been very low for a while. It's not always the same check you see coming in every. It's not a consistent check.
Thus, their side business, Curious Cows and Company, was born. For $25, visitors can spend 30 minutes snuggling calves, brushing their coats, or feeding them hay. I tried filming myself cuddling with cows, in fact, until one of them thought my hair was edible. In the business. But why have dairy prices been declining? One part of it is that there's a dairy glut that's outpacing demand. Christopher Wolf is an ag economist at Cornell University. He says people tend to consume a lot of these dairy products when they eat out.
They're more likely to, people eat more cheeses, more specialty cheese in particular, and things like that when they eat out.
But he says with inflation still relatively high, people are eating out less, and that cuts into dairy consumption.
So right now, inflation is still being kind of stubborn, and everything that's happening right now doesn't look like it's going to do much for curbing inflation. So when people go out less, it also has impacts.
Which is precisely why dairy businesses across the country have delved into agritourism and diversified their product lines to generate as much revenue as possible. This isn't a new idea to Jeff Swanson, a tour manager at Country Dairy in Michigan.
That's part of the reason why we put in our own bottling plant, because in the late 70s and early 80s, milk prices were really low and a lot of farmers were selling out.
Country Dairy not only bottles its own milk, but also operates its own ice cream line, offers tours, and even has a small restaurant on its farm. Swanson says the idea of the special products and tours is also about helping people to understand farming.
People who really have a disconnect with farms today, to be able to educate them and help them know what a modern dairy farm is like.
Swanson says this has allowed their farm to remain relatively independent from major milk market forces. Their focus is to provide quality milk to their customers and offer some unique time on the farm.
So this year, we're also going to be doing classes on Thursdays, and we call it Moo University or Moo U. And we are doing that to try and open up farming even more to people.
That's been a recurring theme through conversations with different dairy farmers. These side businesses aren't just about bringing in more cash. They're also meant to connect people. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.